Assalamu alaikum, girls. I hope you're all doing well, inshallah, and that you are all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. Welcome back to another episode. I won't lie, I haven't recorded another podcast episode for the longest time, and I think it's because Ramadan, I posted so much because I had so much content to give out, and I had so many ideas that I wanted to bring out, and things that I have been learning throughout Ramadan that I wanted to share with you girls. But after Ramadan, I think I had like post-Ramadan blues. I think I really missed Ramadan, and I was trying to implement the habits that I developed during Ramadan in the month after. So I was just trying to be consistent, and I guess I just needed that month to reflect and kind of stay away from many things. Kind of just wanted time to myself, and also I didn't want to just post a random episode to do with a random topic that I didn't feel as passionate about, just to be consistent. I'd much rather give out something that is kind of high quality, something that I feel really passionate about, and I think that will be beneficial to all us girls. That's the reason why I haven't been recording, but alhamdulillah, now I'm back and I have so many things that I wanted to share, so many new ideas for this podcast, inshallah. So I am really, really excited. Okay, so I feel like in a few of my episodes I have been talking about hardship here and there and how to deal with hardship in itself as like a difficulty, but I don't think I've ever covered what to do and how to actually heal whilst you are going through hardship. Because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, verily with hardship with it comes ease, meaning that when we are going through hardship, that in some aspects of our life we are also going through ease as well. We might see, as human beings, we often see hardship as this kind of failure in life. I think failure in quotation marks, because we feel like it is a big thing that is testing us in so many ways that feels almost uncomfortable. But obviously we need to look at hardship from an Islamic perspective, because we are believing Muslim women, is the fact that hardship is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is given to us because He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most compassionate, He is the most merciful. And how can we expect ourselves to go to Jannah without being tested, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing us? So actually, when we are given hardship, we need to take that as an honor, because that is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showcasing His love towards us by inflicting us with hardship, so that He can test our iman, He can test our growth, and also to make us into a better striving person for His love, and also realizing that this dunya isn't actually something that we are aiming for. We are aiming for our akhirah. And to be honest, if this dunya was perfect, there would actually be no such thing as hardship if you put it in that perspective. So it's really important to have that mindset that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that can give us hardship, He is the only one that can relieve us of our hardship. But of course, we need to see it as a test. So testing our iman. And so when it comes to hardship, I feel like as humans, our natural inclination is to go through hardship and try and do everything that we can in our control and take control of the entire situation and try to get rid of that hardship really quickly. But we forget that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that hardship, only He is in control of how long that hardship lasts for. And sometimes we, you know, put our minds in so much pain because we are trying to get rid of this hardship as much as we can. But actually, we have to remember that even though we can plan things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also plans. And His plan, as we know, subhanAllah, it is the best plan for all of us. And even if we can't see the result of His plan, that doesn't matter, because you have to remember He's Al-Alim, He's Al-Hakim, He's all-wise, all-aware. So He knows what we do not know. And He is the all-knowing of all things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the bigger picture, unlike us. And so this is where the whole idea of tawakkul comes in. Because we can't see the bigger picture, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything, you know, He's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He's great, He's just absolutely great, you know, He is the owner, He is the Al-Malik Al-Mulk, He encompasses everything. Our minds are really small to comprehend the big picture that we can't see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what is in front of us that we can't see, because we do not have that capability. We are not self-sufficient like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's really important that we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because again, that is a test of our faith, and you know, a test of our resilience and test of our perseverance. And that's the thing, like when we are born, you know, we don't automatically have sabr. We don't automatically have tawakkul. These are qualities that we need to strive for. And we can only attain the best of these qualities as if we get tested. Because if we don't get tested through hardships and tribulations, we're not going to develop this idea of tawakkul and sabr and turning to Allah in times of difficulty and need. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this hardship to see if it's us, if we are true believers, and that we only hold on to Him and not His creation or anything else. You know, as believing Muslim women, we believe that hardship is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it can be difficult to see the wisdom in adversity, like I said before, but we must trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for us. And it is a beautiful plan, a plan that we might not know about, but yet it is so beautiful because Allah loves us. Allah loves us more than anybody else that we can imagine. So imagine, there is no bad ending. Every single hardship we go through, every single thing that we go through always has a beautiful ending, so long as we hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything happens for a reason. Even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits. But give good tidings to the patient." It's giving us a message. It's telling us that, you know, as long as we have sabr, as long as we have tawakkul, no matter how painful it is, by the way, sabr is not an easy thing, and we must realize that it can be very, very painful and almost toxic to ourselves, because we can really pressurize ourselves to have that sabr when actually it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is telling us. Allah is reassuring us. So we don't actually need to reassure ourselves when the Almighty stated in the Quran that He is also showing us through this message that He is reassuring ourselves. And obviously Allah's word is true. And that is one thing that we need to know as believers, that anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is true. So how do we cope with hardship? So there are many ways that we can obviously cope with hardship. One way is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer and seek comfort in His words. And I did say this in like previous podcast episodes, so I'm just kind of touching upon everything now in terms of how to deal with the hardship itself. So the Quran is a source of guidance, as we know, and a solace for Muslims. And reading it can help us find peace and a good perspective. You know, when it comes to dealing with hardship, it is so important to remember to have a good perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a negative way, that He, for example, He won't forgive you, or now you're not going to get into Jannah, these are toxic traits that are only fueled by shaitan, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, it's really important, so long as we have a positive perspective on Allah, our life can change miraculously, and obviously we are building our place in Jannah as well, inshallah. Another way is to remember that, you know, again, we are not alone in our struggles. We have a beautiful community. You have a beautiful community of friends and family who are there to support you, or just Muslim brothers and sisters who are there to support you. And you know, we can lean on each other for strength and things. And also, you know, finding healing in the knowledge that our hardships can lead to personal growth, like I stated before, and our spiritual development. Again, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we have certainly made the trial something for people to remember." So again, by facing our challenges with patience and sabr and faith, we can emerge stronger and more resilient. And of course, hardship is obviously never easy. It is an inevitable part of life. And obviously, as Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us every step of the way, and that our struggles can ultimately lead to healing and growth. So on a lot of my episodes on my podcast, I always kind of talk about how to deal with hardship, like I said before, but as humans, we are all going to go through hardship regardless, and it's all about how we build on that. So as we are going through that hardship, I wanted to talk about things that us women can do to actually, you know, work on getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst facing our hardship at the same time. And so I have been through a lot of hardship in my life, and actually I'm currently going through one right now, and there's a lot of things that I have learnt and a lot of kind of habits that I've developed, or that I'm trying my best to develop and keep it consistent, that actually has helped me so much and allows me to have more sabr and allows me to be more aware of Allah, and also allows me to just remind me of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what my purpose is in this dunya as well. So here are about, I'm gonna say about 10 to 12 habits that I have kind of implemented whilst throughout my hardship, and I have done this before as well. Also speaking to like friends and family when they go through hardship, they've also recommended some of these qualities as well. Again, I'm no expert, I'm not a scholar or anything, but anything that I feel like has benefited me when it comes to my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course I'm going to share it. That is our duty as Muslim men and women. And also there is a hadith stated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is saying, there is nothing more beloved to Allah than those who are beneficial to his, you know, his servants. And what that is, you know, telling us is the fact that we are there, one of our duties as Muslim women and men is to be there for other people and making sure that we are there to give them the support and encouragement that they need to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, showing, you know, our deen through our actions, being kind to one another, you know, being charitable, helping one another, even if it's a small act of kindness or a small act of help, it is still something. Because again, any deed that you do, any knowledge that you share, if somebody benefits from that, and that allows that deed that they're doing, that they learned from you, allows them to be better for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then think about how much love that is spreading. And that's all to do with Islam, and I think that's truly beautiful. Before I get on to talking about the habits that I have implemented, or that I'm currently also implementing as well, and whilst trying to deal with hardship, is to have a beautiful perspective on hardship. Like I said before, hardship isn't just given to us by people, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends people or sends things our way to start this hardship. Hardship is only given to us by Allah, and it can only be relieved by Allah as well. So that is where your whole mindset of tawakkul comes in, because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always bring you out of darkness. Because if you are a true believer, that is His promise. He will always bring you out of darkness. He will always forgive you. Also, another thing, I was reading a beautiful book, and it's called Reflecting on the 99 Names of Allah, and it's by Jinan Yusuf, I believe. And it is such a beautiful book. And there's something that I really learned about hardship the last few weeks, is the fact that, you know, obviously in the Quran it says, verily with hardship comes ease. And I feel like I actually know what that means now, because I always hear it all the time and I've understood it, but I never actually kind of felt it. I mean, I did feel it, but I just felt like, you know, subhanAllah, like this year I have felt it a lot, and felt it last year as well. And what that is like, say for example, you're going through your hardship, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He is He is the most merciful, most compassionate, to the point that when you are going through hardship, there's going to be ease in other aspects of your life. As humans, we look at that hardship as the hardship, and we expect the ease to be recovering from that hardship. But we shouldn't always have that perception of thinking that way, because if anything, that gets our hopes so high. If we don't get relieved from our hardship instantly, we start to lose faith. And that is something that we need to be very mindful of and be very aware of, and try to stay away from having that habit when it comes to perceiving our hardships that way. But one thing I've learned is that when we're talking about ease, we're talking about ease that comes in other aspects of your life. And for example, say for example you are going through a hardship, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can actually send people, send opportunities your way in other aspects of your life to show His mercy, to, you know, show that you are doing okay and He is proud of you. And I think that is so beautiful. For example, and you know what, I actually shared this on my Instagram story. So I have been going through a certain hardship, and I remember, because where I live in a very small coastal town area, and like I said, 0% Muslim population, right? So one time I was on my evening walk by the beach, and I was trying to catch like sunset hours before Maghrib, and I went past a group of people, and there was one girl and she was wearing a hijab. So I kind of just looked at her, and I was walking past, as where I live, like I said, no Muslims at all. And so it made me feel really happy. That's why I looked at her, but I didn't realize that maybe I was looking like a bit of a weirdo, but it did make me feel really happy. Anyway, from a distance, the woman saw me and she smiled, and we both just waved at each other in peace, purely based from the fact that we acknowledged that we were both Muslim women. And it was truly so wholesome. And I'm assuming she had kind of like non-Muslim friends around her, so even they witnessed that. And you wouldn't just wave at a stranger. So when that happened, like, it's a beautiful moment, because you know that even though I didn't know her, Islam united us already. And again, I didn't know the woman at all, yet it was as if we were just connected on a deeper level through the love of Islam and through our identity as Muslim women. And I always tell myself that whenever you are going through a hardship, whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing you the ease to your hardship, and again, this is where you have to trust in Allah's timing and just make so much dua and have sabr. You need to remember throughout your journey when it comes to recovering from your hardship and, you know, finally getting that ease from the exact hardship, He will place people and moments in your life that you come across that will make your heart feel so warm. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing His mercy that He has got us and that He is proud of us and that He has everything under control so long as we just keep holding on to Him and never lose our iman and our faith. And I felt as if He showed me mercy through this woman, a sister in Islam who appeared out of nowhere that I didn't even expect on my daily walk, subhanAllah. So when I reflect on that situation, it just goes to show that honestly, you never know what is coming ahead of you. And it is so beautiful. The unforeseen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and we do not know is truly beyond beautiful that our small minds, again, can't comprehend. So I'd never have expected this woman to appear. And she did because of Allah, which goes to show that Allah knows what is ahead of us, even when we do not expect it. And again, that is a sense of bringing ease whilst I'm going through my journey and trying to deal with my hardship. And it really is those little moments that are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beautiful signs of love and peace that He bestows upon us when we don't think anything is going smooth in our lives. Again, He's Al-Alim, Al-Hakim and Al-Khabir. He knows what we do not know, and He knows that for us our ending is beautiful so long as we keep our Lord happy. And again, patience can hurt, but patience that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more rewarding than any battle that we can face as Muslims. And I pray that inshallah, like, this experience that I'm sharing, you know, brings a sense of fulfillment and hope that things really will be okay and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And any positive things that happen whilst we are trying to go through our hardship, take that as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is hope. Okay, now moving on to the practical aspects and talking about the 10 to 12 things that I have been doing whilst going through hardship that has helped me kind of just be positive about this hardship and just hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just feel okay. Obviously, just a quick disclaimer, you know, there will be days where even though you are doing these things and you are trying to make the positive effort to, you know, see the beauty in your hardship, of at the end of the day, you are human. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even stated in the Quran that He made mankind weak and only He can bring mankind from their weakness to their strength. Only He is able to do that. So there will be days where you will cry and you will feel like nothing is going right. And, you know, again, we are humans. Our emotions, they build up, and it's okay to cry, because as long as we are not complaining about Allah, not to Allah, about Allah for the hardship that He has given us, it is okay to cry and it's okay to let out your feelings and pour your heart out to Allah. If anything, Allah loves that you are turning to Him. And again, He made that emotion, He built that emotion within us to be sad and to cry, but it's obviously who we turn to with our tears, and obviously it's our Rabb that we turn to. Okay, so let's talk about the practical things that I have been doing and how to heal as a Muslim woman. So obviously this will cover things like habits, and we've already talked about hardships and having tawakkul. So now it's actually talking about the habits that we can do whilst we are going through hardship, rather than just sitting there and waiting for Allah to relieve us of our hardship. We need to be putting in the effort. The whole idea is that you are still holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is nothing worse than going through a hardship and losing your faith, because that's when you become a real loser. So it's so important that even though you are going through that hardship, you just have to picture yourself in Jannah, because you know when you're in Jannah, inshallah, like, you are going to forget all of the hardships that you have faced. They're going to be so minuscule that really the pain that you went through was actually worth it, because you held on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the first one that I have been doing, and I have been trying my best to do, again, I'm not perfect and we are all humans, and but the whole point is that we are trying our best. So the first one is that I have actually seen have the biggest difference, subhanAllah, is praying Salah on time. It is one thing to pray Salah, right? But I genuinely feel like it's something else to pray Salah on time. Like, as soon as the Adhan goes, you are on your prayer mat. Like, you have dropped everything in your worldly life, and that is the moment where, right, I am a Muslim at the end of the day, and I'm going to be praying to my Lord. And that's where you forget about all of your worldly desires, you forget about your hardship, and you just turn and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it just goes to show, one thing I've learned is that every single time I always pray on time, alhamdulillah. Again, there are moments where I do slack off, just like any other human beings, as long as we're striving. I've noticed that every single time I've prayed on time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has literally made my day so much better. Like, for example, I could be crying my eyes out on my prayer mat, and then the adhan goes off, and I'll start praying. And subhanAllah, straight after my salah, I feel so much better. And it could be the fact that it's salah itself, but honestly, praying on time just goes to show that you are putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and that's actually a big sign of iman. And that is, you're going through all of your worldly hardship, you're going through all these endless things that are putting you down. Yet, even though you are going through that, like, you could actually be sitting there and still be overthinking, but instead, as soon as you hear the adhan, you drop everything and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That goes to show that you are putting Allah as your number one priority. That is honestly the biggest, I feel like that is kind of a big sign of iman, because it just goes to show that even though hardships can put you down, you will never let anything get in the way of your connection and making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your priority. So I really think that is just something so beautiful, and I have noticed a big difference that every time I do, I just instantly feel better, subhanAllah. Also, as we know that obviously in Islam, praying on time is important. Even the Quran and the Hadith both emphasize the importance of performing your five daily prayers, your salah, on their specified times. Even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Verily, prayer is enjoined on the believers to be performed at fixed times." And this verse highlights the importance of praying at the specified times and not delaying or missed prayers. Again, similarly in the Hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prayer performed on time, and that is from the Bukhari. This hadith emphasizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when we pray on time, and that is a praiseworthy act, of course. Again, that's what I mean, you drop everything and you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And Allah, one of Allah's name is, he is Al-Shakur, so meaning that he's the most appreciative. So think about how much he would appreciate us when we are going through this turmoil and so much hardship that we drop it and we just focus on him. Think about how, like, appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of that deed. And that just shows that we love him, and that is an act of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, overall, praying on time is a fundamental aspect of Islamic practice, of course, and Muslims, as we all know, we're all encouraged to make that every effort to perform our prayers at the designated times. And there are so many benefits to praying on time. Like, and I've actually witnessed some of these as well. I've not witnessed, I feel like that's a quite a big word, but I have felt some of these benefits, and here's a few that I've kind of felt and discovered. So number one, praying your salah on time, that is fulfilling your obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So praying your salah is a way to fulfill our obligation to Allah. It shows our dedication to our faith and our willingness to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Also, another thing is strengthening our relationship with Allah. So obviously, when we pray on time, we are showing our love and devotion to Allah, and this helps us to strengthen our relationship with him and deepen our iman. The third one is developing a sense of discipline. This is so important, and I actually felt this one the most. And so praying on time requires us to be disciplined and organized. So making sure that salah is embedded, like I said before in my previous episodes, think of it as five permanent pillars in your life, like in your heart, and you work your daily life around it. Again, this can help us to develop good habits and become more productive in other areas of our lives. Another one is maintaining focus and concentration. And praying on time can help us, again, maintain focus and concentration throughout the day. It can also help us avoid distractions and stay mindful of our spiritual goals. Also, another thing, like, again, praying salah is one thing, but praying salah where you're actually fully focused is so difficult. It's so difficult because you have the waswasa from the shaitan, and your mind can drift here and there, and it can probably go back to focusing on salah, but it does happen. Because we are so in the zone, our mind can find it, it's like an easy escape for our mind. And one of the biggest things that has helped me to develop a good habit is actually learning everything that I am reciting. And another good thing is that whilst I'm reciting the Arabic in my salah, at the same time in my head, to kind of preoccupy my mind, again, I've mentioned this in another episode before, but to help preoccupy my mind, I kind of like translate it in English in my head, and I really feel the words. Sometimes I even pause in my salah to just reflect on what I have just said in my mind, and it makes your salah so beautiful, because you then actually understand why you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah itself is talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He is the most great. And that actually tells us that He is greater than any hardship we face. Again, He is the one that created hardship for us. So He is the one that has the solution and can take it away from us. So we have to remember that so long as we stand firm in our faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I've said this before, He honestly has us. Again, seeking forgiveness and guidance. So praying on time and praying your salah on time is an opportunity for all of us Muslims to seek forgiveness for our sins and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And one dua that will just get accepted straight away when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guidance. So just make sure that, you know, it's a big reminder to myself foremost. Again, all of this is a big reminder to myself foremost, is that we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. And some of us might feel like we are on the right track and that we are guided, but that should not stop you from making dua about being guided, because you never know, you could slip up on that way, and you don't want to start feeling arrogant about you getting better and having that amazing relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something to be happy with, of course, but you keep that to yourself, and you shouldn't think that that you're not gonna go down the wrong route, because you never know. That's arrogance in the heart. So we need to be mindful of that and keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to remain guided. Even in Surah Al-Fatiha that we recite, we always say that we, you know, please Allah, please guide us onto the straight path, the path that you have blessed, and not the one that you are displeased with, or not follow the people who go astray. So again, really reflecting on what you are saying in your salah, it all ties in with each other. And if anything, you are beautifying your ibadah, and that is the most peaceful thing that you can get, because again, you are reminding yourself of your purpose. Overall, praying your salah on time is an important aspect of our practice, like I said, as Muslims, and it has many benefits, and hence why there is certain times for our salah, and it is a test to see who, you know, drops everything and goes straight to their Lord in the time of prayer. Number two, and the second one, is about tahajjud. Honestly, I have been performing tahajjud for quite a while now, alhamdulillah, and it is the most peaceful type of ibadah I have ever done, where you wake up in the middle of the night before Fajr, and the night itself is so quiet, like you don't hear much, you don't hear anything. And it just makes the physical feeling between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more intimate and just more intense. And even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears us all the time, every single second, it's as if like, wow, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually chosen me to wake up and, you know, perform tahajjud. You know, He doesn't allow that to happen to everybody. So if you are in that state of making it into a habit, praying tahajjud, you always have to realize that Allah, it's not you that got up yourself. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that guided you to wake up and pray to Him and make dua to Him. So tahajjud is an optional prayer that is performed during the night after Isha and obviously before Fajr prayer. And it is also known as the night prayer, and it is considered to be one of the most virtuous acts of worship in Islam. And there are many benefits of tahajjud, and these are actually some of the benefits that I have felt. So number one is obviously finding the peace and tranquility. It's honestly, I feel like it's not the same. Praying during the night is, I just can't even describe it, like it's so beautiful, and you feel like you're able to just pour your heart out to Allah, and you feel so at peace. And tahajjud is a time where, you know, we can find that peace and tranquility in our hearts, and it's a time when we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His help and guidance. Also, in the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually comes down to the lowest heaven and, you know, sees who is doing their ibadah for Him, checks to see if there's any du'as that needs to be answered, and He will always listen and He will always answer your du'a, especially if you are praying in the last third of the night. It's such a beautiful feeling, and especially when you're going through hardship and you are crying a lot and your heart is just filled with emotion that you are bursting out, I promise you, as soon as you pray tahajjud and all of those tears are gone whilst you are making du'a, you feel peace. You feel like you've let your pain and suffering out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with, and you have confided in Him, and that is the best you can do. That is the most we can do, especially because hardships can often be outside of our control. If they're outside of our control and beyond our control, we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate control, and He is the one that's going to control everything, and we need to have that reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once you finish crying, that peace that you feel is so surreal. Like I remember just sitting on my prayer mat after tahajjud crying, and I'll just kind of sit and reflect, and I'll be so happy the fact that I've let it all out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know that I have left that hardship in the best of hands. Another benefit is obviously drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tahajjud is a way to, you know, be close to Allah and seek His forgiveness and guidance. And it is a time that we can reflect on everything in our lives and our relationship. And I'm not sure if any of you girls have felt this or experienced this. I'm sure all of us have. But you know when you get that moment where you're going through a difficult hardship and you pray your salah, and then after praying your salah, you do your adhkar and you do your dhikr and your dua, but you just kind of sit on your prayer mat and just your mind just wanders off, but the whole environment, the whole scenery around you is just quiet. And it's that feeling of being close to Allah and just feeling relieved that you've gone and told Allah everything. Again, similarly to praying salah on time, it also helps to develop a sense of discipline. Again, tahajjud prayer requires us to wake up in the middle of the night and perform the prayer. And again, this can help us with our discipline and organization. Also, another thing that really is good about tahajjud is the fact that, you know, when you wake up to pray tahajjud, you're also preparing yourself to pray fajr as well, to the best of your ability. Because sometimes I've noticed that when I pray fajr, I'll wake up and I'll make my wudu and I'll do fajr and I'm like half asleep, and it's not really like, I feel like I just sometimes I don't do it to the best that I can. Obviously I'm putting my intention and I'm trying my hardest, but I know that I can strive more, just like all of us. And I feel like tahajjud is a good way of preparing yourself to actually perform your obligatory act of worship, which is praying fajr, which is obviously it's more greater than tahajjud itself, hence why it is obligatory. So making sure that the quality of your salah is number one, foremost, and not just rushing it. And if you are somebody that might find it difficult to pray tahajjud, just do it this way. And to be honest, I choose the easier way because, again, we are humans and there's no point in going for a difficult way if there's an easier route. So the way I do it, again, everybody does it differently, and please do your own research. But I just wake up maybe 20 minutes before my fajr alarm goes off, and I'll get up and I'll make wudu and I'll just pray two rakats, and it helps massively. After praying two rakats, if I have time, I'll just sit and make dua, endless dua to Allah, and then as soon as the fajr adhan goes, I get up and I feel more refreshed, and I feel like the quality of my salah, may all of our salahs be accepted, may Allah accept my salah and accept all of our acts of worship, ameen. But I genuinely feel like the quality of my fajr salah, my obligatory act of worship, is, you know, at a good standard. And may Allah, you know, allow our acts of worship to be the standard that is the most pleasing to Him. Another one is obviously seeking blessings and rewards. So if you are really wanting to find that relief in your hardship, wake up for tahajjud and seek for Allah's mercy and guidance and His blessings. Tahajjud is a virtuous act of worship that is highly rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray tahajjud regularly and also encouraged his followers to do the same. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And from part of the night, pray with it as additional worship for you. It is expected that your Lord will resurrect you to a praised station. And this verse highlights the importance of the tahajjud prayer and the rewards that come with it. Similarly, in the hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the best prayer after the obligatory prayers is the night prayer. And this is in the Muslim hadith. And this hadith emphasizes the importance of the tahajjud prayer and its status as a highly virtuous act of worship. We have to remember it's really important that we make sure that our obligatory acts of worship is in place, but when we can follow the sunnah, we should always strive to even be like 0.0001% of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest man alive. Again, you know, tahajjud prayer is an optional prayer that can have many benefits for our spiritual and personal development, and it's a time when we can draw closer to Allah and seek His forgiveness and guidance. But again, please do not perform tahajjud if your obligatory acts of worship are not in place, because if you can focus on your five daily salah, that actually holds a bigger reward and bigger acceptance than compared to the Hajj. But then again, everybody's different. Allah will judge accordingly. He is Al-Muqsiti, so everybody will be judged the same but differently based on their intentions and the effort that they put in. Again, big reminder to myself foremost that we focus on our obligatory acts of salah, worship, such as our five daily salah, and rather than all the optional ones as well, because that is where the greatest of rewards rely, and it is compulsory for us to do so, and we will, and it is one of the first things that we will be asked about on the day of judgment, inshallah. Okay, so the next one that I've been doing, so the next habit is going on walks. And honestly, going on walks, because I live by the beach, so it's like the beach is like 2 minutes away from my house, 2 minute walk, and going along the beach. So what I do, I come back home from work and I'll pray Asr and I'll maybe read Quran or do something or seek knowledge or maybe watch Netflix, whatever I'm feeling. And maybe before 2 hours before Maghrib, I will go outside and I will go for a 2 hour walk along the beach, and it's so beautiful. And I'll listen to like a Quran recitation or a lecture or a podcast or something, and when I tell you, it is the most beautiful, productive thing that you could do for your mental health and to ease your mind. Because one of the biggest things that I've learned is that we walk around this dunya and sometimes we don't even appreciate the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of this dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So whilst I'm walking on the beach, one of the things that I really do reflect on is Allah's creation and how He made the seas and how He has made the sun and the colors of the sky. Like, I literally love looking at the sky whilst I'm walking, because I just think to myself, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything for a purpose that us humans know very, very little or nothing about. And the most beautiful thing is, and it's actually something that should reassure all of us when going through hardship, is the fact that Allah has created everything. He has created the dunya that mankind cannot create. So Allah is going to take care of us. If He is, think about this dunya, right? There is so much corruption happening because of people around the world, yet this dunya is still intact, but it's only being sustained and intact because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So despite all of these harsh things that are happening around the world, yet the world is so beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, this dunya, is so beautiful, and nobody can actually ruin this world as a whole. Nobody can, because that is Allah, that it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you think about all of the corruption that is taking place in this dunya, yet the world is intact and the creation is still beautiful, it goes to show that whatever hardship we are going through, doesn't matter how shaken we are when it comes to our hardship and how difficult it can be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got us completely. He's telling us that through His signs, that everything that we are going through, it's under control, and there is a beautiful ending at the end of this. And even though, again, we might not see it, but we have to remember Allah is Al-Alim. He's all-knowing. He knows what we do not know, and we need to trust Allah. Again, you can see there's like this running theme. It all falls back onto tawakkul. We need to remember that we are not the same as Allah, so we will not know the same things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah knows more and more and beyond more, right? Infinite. But our minds are so small that we just need to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything's under His control. Because if He is able to keep this dunya under His control, what makes us think that He won't have our hardships under control? And our hardships are so small compared to all the incidents that happen in this dunya, if you think about it. It's actually a time to be grateful. And that's another thing. That's why I love going on my daily walks as well in the evenings, because it allows me to be really grateful. I feel grateful for being able to walk on my two legs. And I know it might sound small, but it's a big blessing, actually. Because think about the things that we wouldn't be able to do if we couldn't walk. Again, we need to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me that opportunity to live by a beach and walk and reflect on His creation and reflect on this dunya and appreciate the things around us. And I think when we go through hardship, because Alhamdulillah, you know, we live in a good society. When I say good society, I mean we have shelter, and, you know, unlike, unfortunately, unlike on some other people. You know, we have shelter and we have homes and we have a bed to lie in and we have food. We actually forget that those are the biggest blessings before anything else. Like, we need to, because without that, we wouldn't even be able to survive. So any hardship that we are going through, we also have to remember to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and actually be grateful and see the beauty in hardship. So knowing that we are going through hardship, at least, alhamdulillah, I still have food on my plate. And these are the blessings that we take for granted because we are living with them every single day. Like, for example, alhamdulillah, you know, ever since I was born, there's not even been a single day without food. And that's all because of Allah. And because I have not actually gone through, alhamdulillah, 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 the fact that I have not gone through, you know, starving and not having access to food, I don't actually know how that feels. So that the hardships that I face, that is like the only difficulty that I actually feel. And we have to remember that, honestly, all of the blessings that we have, we need to be grateful for it. And again, even in the Quran, you know, Allah talks about how if we count all of His blessings, we can't actually number them. We can't. His blessings are endless. As humans, as ourselves, we brought nothing to this dunya. Everything that we have gained in this dunya is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the point where I want you all to reflect, and also it's a point of reflection for me as well. Reflect on everything that I've just said about how we've entered the dunya and everything that is given to us is a blessing from Allah. Count that compared to count how many hardships you've actually been through. The difference is massive, isn't it? The blessings that are given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on a whole new scale compared to the hardships we go through. So again, it's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love that we need to realize. So this is why I love going on my walks, because not only is it I'm getting my exercise in, which is also very good for your mental health, and obviously, you know, physically you are adapting yourself and you are helping your systems inside of your body to be active. It's really important to realize that whilst you're walking, you are also reflecting on Allah and you realize your purpose. So that's actually why I love going on walks and listening to a good podcast and a good lecture. Like, a lot of my friends, alhamdulillah, they'll send me like a lot of lectures and reminders to watch, and whilst I'm at work, so when I get home I have to go through all of them. And when I tell you, it's the best thing ever. It really is such a beautiful thing. So I highly recommend going, you know, if you don't have a beach near you, maybe go around your local area and just walk. I think for me personally, I love walking in places where there's a lot of nature. I feel like walking in a place where there's lots of buildings and stuff, because again, buildings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the materials to make the buildings and stuff, but in a way it's man-made, like it's not nature or anything in that sense. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything, but man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man the capability to build that building. So it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But personally for me, I prefer walking with lots of nature because it's just natural, and that is, and you realize the beauty and you recognize the detail that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in everything. Like, we are just not the same, and because we deal with disappointment from humans, we often feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, disappoint us the same way. But that's not how we should view it at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything. We cannot perceive Him to be similar as humans, astaghfirullah, because Allah is He's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's how He introduces Himself to us, and I think that's the most beautiful thing. So think about all of the detail that He has put into your life, and that He knows that so long as you hold on to Him, that's the only thing that Allah asks us for, is that we hold on to Him, and there will be a beautiful ending. We might not see the beautiful ending straight away, but I promise you there will be, because you will not lose anything if you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you get that, you know, happy ending in this dunya, but obviously foremost we get it in the akhirah, inshallah. So again, going on walks has been the best thing that has happened to me, and I just feel like I'm recording this podcast and I'm really looking forward to like my evening walk, inshallah. Okay, so the fourth thing that I have been doing, and it's actually one of my favorite things, is listening to Quran recitation. Again, I actually listen to Quran recitation whilst I go to work and whilst I am walking, and honestly, it is the nicest thing ever. I actually have a Quran playlist that I will link in this, underneath this podcast description, in the description. And, you know, some of my favorite reciters is Omar, Hisham, Abdul Rahman, Masad, and I think, I'm just trying to remember who my other third one is, which is actually my favorite one, and that is Sharif Mustafa. And honestly, their Quran recitation is so beautiful and so peaceful, and I absolutely love it. And you know what's so beautiful? A good thing that you can do that can help you utilize your Quran learning is to listen to this recitation. And whilst you're listening to the recitation, you also read it in your Quran, or you read the English translation whilst you are following the Arabic recitation. And it's honestly the best way to utilize your time. Other than that, you can obviously listen to it whilst going on walks, and it's so peaceful. Like, when I tell you, it is something so physically peaceful that you can literally feel. It fuels your mind with peace, and it makes you feel like your hardships don't even exist. And whilst I'm walking and I'm reflecting on Allah's creation and looking at Allah's creation, and alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with a sight that I am able to see His beautiful dunya. And you know what? That linking to the third point about going on walks, it makes you imagine, right? It makes you think, you know what? If this is the beauty of Allah's dunya and this is the perfection of Allah's dunya, imagine what Jannah is like. We can't imagine it because we have not seen it. It's something that we literally, as humans, again, our minds are too small to comprehend what Jannah will look like. And I think that is truly beautiful. So yes, listening to Quran recitation really helps to have that peaceful mindset and just puts you in ease. Also, another thing, I love listening to Quran recitation to help me fall asleep. I don't kind of listen to it to put me to sleep. I'll listen to it just so I know that I have ended the night and I'm going to sleep knowing that I am listening to Allah's words. Because a lot of people will resort to music, and if you are somebody, and one of the biggest scariest habits is falling asleep to music. Because what if you pass away that night? You don't want to be passing away whilst listening to music, and more specifically music that has got haram words in it. So it's really important that if you want to get into the habit of making sure that you want to go to sleep and have a peaceful night's rest, it's important that, again, a big reminder to myself foremost, that we listen to Quran. I feel like that has helped massively for me, and also it allows me to go to sleep a lot quicker and I feel refreshed. And sometimes I actually catch myself falling asleep to Quran recitation and then I wake up for the hajj and it's still playing, and it's honestly such a nice feeling. Like, it's honestly these little moments, subhanallah, that makes you realize that, you know, Allah is there, and it's just so beautiful. So I really do recommend listening to Quran recitation as well, and I will link my one in the description link below. Okay, so number five, and that is, this is like the biggest thing for me, and this is actually what I'm striving to do. It's actually one of my aims, and I really encourage everybody, you know, as Muslim women, we make this our aims, not just Muslim women but as Muslims in general, because it is really recommended in Islam and it's actually advised for us to do so, and that is reading and seeking knowledge. I absolutely love reading. I'm quite a slow reader, but I love reading and reflecting on 99 Names of Allah by Janan Yusuf. That is actually my favorite all-time read. I know for a fact that I'm gonna reread it once I finish reading it. Again, I feel like looking at books and reading books that allow you to understand who Allah is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, it strengthens your connection with Allah and it allows you to have a more of a positive perception of Allah. And also, whatever you are going through in your life, whether that's blessings or hardship, you're able to relate it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way. Like, for example, you know, when you're seeking knowledge and, you know, say for example you ended up getting a new job that you were really excited about and that you worked really hard for, instead of, you know, thanking your boss for giving you the job, you actually ultimately go into thinking straight away, thanking Allah. And you know, when you start, you know, resorting all of your thanks to Allah and all of your gratitude to Allah rather than people, that's how you know you really have connected with your deen. And it's actually something that we should all be working and striving for every single time, and it's a work in progress, because often sometimes as humans we can forget as well. And of course, seeking knowledge is amazing, because the Quran emphasizes the importance of seeking knowledge and encourages Muslims to read and learn. And, you know, even in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Read in the name of your Lord who created." Now, this verse actually emphasizes the importance of reading and seeking knowledge, and it's often cited as an encouragement for us Muslims to pursue education and learning. And there are so many benefits when it comes to seeking knowledge, and I highly advise it. Number one is obviously utilizing free time. I always tell myself, and one thing that really does scare me is the fact that I want to kind of end the day knowing that I have done what I could to the best of my ability for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the best would be dedicating 24/7 to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's really important to make that intention about whatever you do in the worldly life, you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one is it helped me develop thinking skills, so critical thinking skills as well. And what I mean by that is that seeking knowledge, it actually requires us to think critically and evaluate our information and kind of reflect and analyze on the sayings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sayings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. And it allows us to implement those sayings and implement what we learn and the habits of a good Muslim person and a righteous Muslim person that Allah is pleased with, and implement those habits in our lives. So it's constantly you are evaluating your iman, you are evaluating and reflecting on the state of your heart every single time you seek knowledge. And you know what, it's actually a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah wants good for you, He will allow you to seek knowledge about Him and our religion. So it's beautiful, and this can help us develop, you know, having that strong analytical skills and making better decisions in our personal and professional lives. I think this is so important. The more we understand Islam, the more we seek knowledge, we have a more better understanding of how to deal with problems and how to deal with decisions. Because when it comes to making decisions, we will instantly be, inshallah, be able to think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want. And I think that is the main thing when it comes to all of this as well. And of course, increasing our understanding of the world and reading and learning can help us gain a deeper understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's world around us. And this can broaden our perspectives and help us appreciate diversity of human experience as well, which is very important. So that's why I really do recommend reading as well. Obviously, it doesn't always have to be an Islamic book, but any book that's to do with developing good habits or something that will allow you to better yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, I think it's very important. Another thing is obviously enhancing our personal growth. So seeking knowledge can help us develop new skills that can enhance our personal growth, and this can inshallah lead to greater success in our lives as well. And of course, strengthening our faith, that is the main thing, because seeking knowledge about Islam can help us deepen our understanding of our religion and develop a stronger connection, like I said, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we start to implement what we know and we set goals for ourselves. I think one of the biggest ways that you can utilize reading and seeking knowledge in a positive way is coming up with goals to try and implement what knowledge you have sought in your life, what Islamic knowledge you have benefited from, and what Islamic knowledge you can share with other people. Try and set goals for yourself so that you are able to, you know, come up with a new ibadah and kind of just work on yourself. Because remember, we are on a journey from Allah to Allah, and so it's really important that every single day that we are blessed with, because we need to know that every single day we don't just wake up, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives our soul back to us. So it's so important to remember that He gives our soul back to us, and He is giving us another chance to redeem ourselves. So do better every single day. Do not stay the same. A lot of us, we fall into that trap in the dunya where we're like, right, I want to get a job, and so I'm going to work extra hard every single day. I'm going to be better every single day. We need to do the same for our akhirah as well. It's so important that we do that for our akhirah. Again, by the way, everything that I'm saying, big reminder to myself foremost as well. And yeah, again, building stronger relationships. So understanding how to deal with relationships through reading and cultivating skills from the knowledge that you have learned. And I think it's really important. Also, another thing that's important is the fact that any knowledge that you seek, allow it to benefit other people as well. Make sure you share it with your loved ones, share it with your friends and family, your WhatsApp group chats, put it on your Snapchat story, your Instagram story, because anybody that acts on that knowledge that you have learnt, because remember, you, in order to give dawah, you need to have good intentions. That is literally it. You need to have the purest intentions that you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not need to be, and I'm putting this in quotation marks behind my microphone that you guys can't see, you don't need to be pious, right? Because I don't know what that means anymore. I feel like that word is just used in such a, like, in such a way where people have certain expectations of what piety is. But you need to just have that good intention. And if you want to seek for Allah's pleasure, you will do it for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of impressing other people. So again, really important that whatever knowledge that you share with people, that you are doing with the best, you are doing it with the best of intentions. And always renew your intentions as well. I actually sometimes forget to renew my intentions. So it's really important that, you know, every single day, whatever we do, before any acts of kindness that we give away or knowledge that we share, we have to, you know, make dua to Allah to keep our intentions clean and only just do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for Him. Because again, our acts of worship won't be valid if we end up doing it for other people and trying to do it for other people as well. That goes to show as well, so I'm losing my words now, but it also goes to show that when you share this beneficial knowledge, if anybody acts upon this beneficial knowledge and it allows them to be a better person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about how much that's going to build for your akhirah, inshallah. May Allah accept all of the work that we do and all of the ibadah that we do and all the knowledge that we share. Ameen. And you know what? It's a nice feeling, because again, one of our duties as Muslims in this dunya is to help one another and guide each other to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who ultimately guides us all. And I think it's so important. Even there are so many hadith and Quranic verses that emphasize the importance of seeking knowledge. So here's a few. So in the Sahih Muslim, the hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that whoever treads a path in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him the path to paradise. Another one in the Quran, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exalt those who believe among you and those who are given knowledge to higher decrees. And again, in the hadith, in the Al-Trimidi, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, acquire knowledge and impart it to the people. And I think it's really important that we just share it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes it so much. So we know for a fact that if we do seek knowledge, there will be endless barakah in it, and it's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding us to Him. And you know, one thing that I've noticed, a quick reflection, when I'm on my, through my personal journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have actually noticed my level of modesty has increased the more I have sought knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember I used to dress modestly because I used to see girls dress modestly and I used to find it beautiful. But even though, you know, like Allah Mubarak, it is beautiful. Modesty is the most beautiful thing. Haya is so beautiful. But I actually didn't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just did it because I found it beautiful. And it, of course it is, but your sole reason of wanting to be more modest is because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So eventually, when I started to read more, when I started to seek knowledge more, obviously I have a long way to go and I'm just talking about my personal journey here. When I started reading more and learning more and seeking more knowledge, naturally, without realizing, by the way, subhanAllah, Allah works in the most beautiful, mysterious ways. Without realizing, I started dressing so modestly, to the point, when I say so modestly, I'm not trying to praise myself or anything, but I'm just talking about in terms of clothing. So for example, my clothing would be more loose. That's what I mean when I say more modestly. So I started wearing really loose clothing that I would never have thought that I could actually come to that stage of wearing. And I realized it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I genuinely had the intention to seek knowledge, and because I just wanted to gain Allah's love, Allah showed me His love by allowing me to fall in love with wearing looser clothes without me even realizing. To the point, that's why reflection is so important, to the point where now that I reflect on it, I just think, wow, subhanAllah. So honestly, I felt it. And if anything, once you feel it, right, once you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, it should only just keep pushing you to strive for more and stay away from pleasing people. And I think that's the biggest motivation that one could have. Again, may Allah accept us all. It's actually really emotional talking about it, because again, we don't really realize Allah's love for us. We sometimes kind of overlook it, and then you reflect on certain moments and you think, you know what, hang on a minute, Allah saved me from this hardship, or Allah saved me from this. And honestly, it's truly so beyond beautiful. Okay, so moving on. So number six, and that is doing the salah, adhkar, dhikr and dua. So it's really important for us to, whenever we are praying our salah, that we do not just get up straight away. I've actually noticed after performing salah, I will just sit on my prayer mat. And also you have to remember, staying put after salah, angels make dua for you. So when you are making dua for other people, angels are making that exact same dua for you, subhanAllah. Like I said, our religion is just too beautiful. It's just too beautiful, subhanAllah. Like, I'm so grateful for being Muslim. You know when you have those realization points where you're like, alhamdulillah for being Muslim, because my life would be crazy and it would just, I would have no purpose if I was not Muslim. So alhamdulillah, it's the greatest blessing that one could ever have. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, you know, sitting down, staying put after your salah, one thing I've realized, this has helped me so much, because it's the peaceful time. It's one of the most peaceful times. After praying salah, you're not rushing to go anywhere. You're staying put and you're thinking about what you've just recited in your salah, and you are making dua and you are humbling yourself before Allah. I think it's so important that as humans, we are humbling ourselves. That's the whole point of salah, that we humble ourselves to our Creator. So that when we are sitting down, we are also humbling ourselves by turning to Allah. Even in Surah Al-Fatiha, we speak about, you know, Allah is the only one that we worship. He is the only one that we turn to. So after praying a salah, once you start making dua, you are actually, whatever you've recited in your salah, you are putting that into practice by making dua, by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though your dua might not get answered straight away, that's not the whole point. You shouldn't just think your dua will be answered straight away. It could, but you need to have that idea that Allah has got me, whether it's in this dunya and this akhirah. And it's this whole building resilience when it comes to making dua. And you should never give up on your dua. As soon as you give up on your dua, you always have to think, did you actually want your dua to be answered? You shouldn't be hasty. And humankind, we have this habit of being hasty and wanting to rush things, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own beautiful timing that we just must follow. So I really think it's important that, you know, we are mindful of that, and making dua, humbling ourselves to Allah and knowing that it is he is the only one that can deal with our affairs in the most beautiful way. Once you have given that trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you automatically feel at peace. And when I say peace, I'm talking about you genuinely feel peace in your heart and mind, like your mind has been cleared of any doubts or any insecurities, and because you've just passed it on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the next one that I have been doing that has helped me for a long time and actually just keeps me busy, and that is number 7, and that is creativity. So finding a hobby, and again, this is not like an Islamic one, it's more kind of just a general thing. You can make it Islamic, of course. If you come up with an Islamic hobby, I think that's amazing, because obviously renewing your intentions and stating your intentions and doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's also an act of ibadah as well. But doing something that will keep you busy. So I put creativity because I have eMuslimah, which is my platform to help inspire Muslim women and to showcase my journey. And just because I obviously was in a dark place, and it's really nice kind of being able to share my journey and just giving a sense of encouragement to Muslim women who might feel like they can't do it, because I was feeling that same. I used to go through that, where I feel like I can't do it, I feel like Allah is not pleased with me, but actually Allah is pleased with you. And I think if you have social media, you know, you can either use it in two ways. One way is for the positive, the other way is for the negative. And for me, the positive is spreading any knowledge that I seek and any lessons that I've learned and anything that I can share that can help better someone's lives. Again, even though it's quite strange, because social media, in a sense, is public, so everybody can see it. So it may seem as if you are showing, again, quotation marks, showing off your deeds. But actually, you're not showing off your deeds if you are making that clear intention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are doing it for Him. And I think that's so important, especially in the society we live in. Social media has taken over the world. When I say taken over the world, it's like everybody does all of their work. You have so many jobs revolving around social media, and news is from social media. So we need to utilize it in a way that we are also spreading Islam on social media, seeing as social media can spread a lot of hate, and the media as well can say a lot of things about Islam. We need to use our social media to voice the love and beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for me, that's my podcast, and I just love doing it because, one, it takes my mind away from the hardship, it keeps me busy, and you have something to do, and it's something that you love. You have to remember, it's when you have a hobby, it's something that you love. That's why it's called a hobby and not work. A hobby is something that you willingly want to do because you love it, and it makes you feel a certain way that maybe work doesn't make you feel. I would highly recommend it. So it might be starting, and I said this in other episodes as well, It might be you starting a new business. It might be you painting, doing Arabic calligraphy. I'm just thinking of my friend here. She does this amazing Arabic calligraphy. Please do check it out on Instagram. Or like, you know, making food, or just kind of finding, reading, writing, journaling, all of these things that allow you to escape from your hardship. And I think it's beautiful. And again, obviously you might go back to thinking about your hardship, but we are human. When I'm talking about healing and the process of healing, you are doing as much as you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make yourself better for Him. Because the more you be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of hardship, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind to you. And we need to remember that. Okay, so the next one is number 8. And this is going to sleep, making forgiveness and sharing gratitude and having that peace in your heart. When I tell you this, and it's actually something I am going through, and for me personally, it doesn't make sense. I think the most important thing with this is going to sleep knowing that you have no bad blood with anybody. I don't think people actually understand how important that is in Islam, because you never ever want to, we can never guarantee how long we're going to live for, right? So we could pass away tonight. Now, if you pass away tonight and you haven't forgiven people, or you haven't sought for Allah's forgiveness, or you haven't showed how much you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, you actually have put yourself in quite a scary state, because you want to have peace with everybody. You don't want to be held accountable for anybody's hurt. And I think that's the most important thing, is that obviously sometimes when we have conflict with people, in human nature we always want to be the one in the right, but often we forget that actually our egos should not even be a thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one. All honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to feel that we are right in a situation, even though we might feel it? But we should never let that get to our egos at all. So it's so important to understand that you should let go of conflict with people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the benefit of reconciling with people who have hurt you, or just making sure that there's no bad blood and just making peace between them. You don't need to be friends with them, but so long you can be civil and that none of you are held accountable for each other's pain. Allah sees the benefit in that. We might not see the benefit in forgiving people, but Allah does. And we just trust Allah. Again, running theme here, tawakkul. And we have to remember that if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, we should also forgive people as well. And we are talking about the greatest, by the way. We are talking about the king, and that is Allah. And if the king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is able to forgive us humans, okay, who he created, who are we not to forgive one another? So again, going to sleep with a restful heart. And, you know, I feel like I get a lot of DMs about this on Instagram, where a lot of people tell me I have done as much as I could to make peace with somebody, yet they still haven't forgiven me. So let it be. You've done all that you can. Make dua to Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that you have put in all the effort to make peace with somebody, and gets to a point where you go to sleep and they're not happy with you still, even though you tried your best to make peace with them, let it go, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw your effort. And you will not be held accountable if you make sincere forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, just keep that in mind, because there's nothing more that you can do. You have to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the states of our hearts and our intentions. And if we have done all we could in our capability to make peace with someone and they're still not accepting, what more can you do? Genuinely, what more can you do? You leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. And trust me, there is always a happy ending for a good heart. There always is. It's the thing in Islam. You know, any kind heart out there, any heart that wants to make peace and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be, you know, going down the bad route at all. They will be left with a happy ending, no matter how much it hurts. And trust me, it can hurt. I've been through it as well. It can hurt. But you also have to understand that you did it for Allah's sake. And if other people can't see good, forget them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see the best in you. And that's what I love about Allah. One of the, obviously, there's endless amount of things that we can say about, you know, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we love. But one of the things that I love about Allah is the fact that humans can find it difficult to forgive us, yet our Rabb, the greatest, he forgives us for the gravest of sins when we genuinely turn back to him. And I've just, nothing is more reassuring and beautiful than that. So that is something that I absolutely adore about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, making sure that you can make peace with everybody as much as you can in your power. And if not, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, number 9, and that is to kind of like, for me personally, watching lectures, TV shows, my Netflix, Disney Plus, all of that, and my self-care and just having time to myself is honestly, I feel like growing up, you get less of that time because you are preoccupied with work and things like that. So it's not an Islamic thing I'm talking about here right now. I'm just talking more kind of like a general thing. I think it's so important to have that time to yourself as well, that self-care. And a lot of people tell me, you know, don't romanticize all of this stuff, but I think it's really important that you, again putting it in quotation marks, romanticize your self-care and that time to yourself. You know, really make yourself feel loved, love yourself, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a body, he has blessed you with, you know, your body, yourself, and we need to look after it. We need to look after our mental health, and Allah has given us that responsibility to do our best to look after what he has given us, and our mental health is a blessing. So sometimes I love to kind of just get lost in a TV show or Netflix or something. Like I'm really into my Korean dramas, so I'm always watching that. Also my self-care, like I really love my skincare and my nighttime routines, my morning routines. I really take time doing those, and it just goes to show that you are loving yourself. So I think it's an important part of just helping get through hardship, is that you don't neglect your hygiene foremost, you don't neglect your hygiene, you don't neglect self-care, and you don't neglect alone time, and don't abuse alone time. So don't make alone time be a time where you overthink. Utilize it, maybe watch Netflix, read Quran, just do something that will take your mind off it. So I think it's really important with that as well. Number 10, and that is challenging yourself. So this is actually quite a broader one. So when I say challenging yourself, and that actually means setting yourself a goal. So even though our hardship can distract us, it's really important that we don't let our hardship distract our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still strive to be the best that we can be. Yes, we can have ibadah burnout. Yes, we can have burnouts from hardship. However, it's better to be tired for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than to be tired because of the sake of being tired, if that makes sense. So when I say being tired for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, you know, doing all of this ibadah and then eventually feeling burnt out. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually sees the work that you do and you trying so hard for him despite the hardship. You have to realize humans, we live in this dunya, we are used to humans disappointing us, and we are used to humans not actually caring about the effort that we put in. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees every little bit of blood, sweat and tears that goes into making our ibadah and perfecting our ibadah for the sake of Allah, despite the fact that we are going through hardship and the fact that it is hurting us. And I think that is the most one of the most beautiful aspects, again, of our religion, of our Rabb, is the fact that he acknowledges, he's al-shakur, like I said, he's the most appreciative of all of our efforts. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can appreciate our efforts, then who are we not to appreciate our efforts? So again, it's a self-confidence boost. So I really think challenging yourself and setting yourself an Islamic goal every single day to be better. Like currently, one of my Islamic goals right now is to be able to fast on the Sunnah days, voluntarily fast Monday to Thursdays, even though it's difficult, but I am trying. Even though the hardship that I'm going through, I am still trying. And I think that's the main thing, having that intention and trying to be better, because you never know when you try for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you try a new ibadah and you do it for the sake of Allah, then you never know, it could be that ibadah that allows all of your du'as to be answered. You honestly never know. Allah knows what we do not know at the end of the day. And I just think when you are striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward you in a way that you cannot imagine. And trust me, your hereafter, you know, inshallah, it will be blissful. And it's really important that you set yourself these goals, because you are challenging yourself, you're disciplining yourself, and you're reminding yourself of your purpose as a Muslim woman in this dunya. And that is to build our home in the hereafter in Jannah, inshallah. So try and make a challenge for yourself. Set up a simple goal. It doesn't need to be an over, you know, a big, big goal. It needs to be realistic, something that you can achieve slowly every single day. So for example, you might see yourself after Ramadan, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm praying Salah 5 times a day on time, reading Quran. I'm just giving an example, by the way. And you realize that you have been consistent, and that has been amazing. You have had some downfalls, but you have managed to come back into that routine and keep carrying on. So then you start a different Islamic habit, you know, maybe try giving charity every day, or fasting Monday, Thursdays, or doing voluntarily fast whenever you can, or setting up an organization or a fundraiser, something that can allow you to be better. When I tell you, it's so important to never settle for just the minimum. Keep striving. If you see that your obligatory acts of worship, you're doing them well, obviously we have downfalls, we're humans, but we are keeping them consistent as much as we can, do something else. We shouldn't just settle for the minimum. We need to keep striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to keep seeking knowledge. We need to be the best that we can be, because our ibadah is, there's no limit to it, okay? We can keep striving and striving. That's the beauty of Islam, is the fact that there is no limit when it comes to our ibadah, because everybody's different, you know? And we just have to keep pushing ourselves. And don't compare yourself, your ibadah, to somebody else's ibadah, because you both have two different lives, and also you have both different goals and different circumstances. So don't compare yourself to other people in that unhealthy manner. But, you know, maybe have your friends do ibadah with you. And that will actually relate to my next point, actually, which is the last point. And when going through hardship, one of the things that I love doing that actually takes my mind off a lot of things, and that's having mosque days with my friends. Like, honestly, it's the best thing ever. I never used to do it that much, but recently I just love going to the masjid just to take myself away from the environment that I don't want to be in. And it's just the environment. Like, sometimes I won't even do anything like Islamic related. I'll just maybe read a book, or I'll do some like planning for school. When I say school, I mean work. Planning for work, planning for my classes. But the environment of the masjid is so beautiful. And then when the adhan goes off, you just get up and you pray, and it's just so peaceful. And the most beautiful thing is going with your friends. Because one, you are also taking your mind away from hardship by having good people around you, you know, God-fearing friends, friends who care about your hereafter, they care about you entering Jannah and actually want to see you in Jannah. Those are the friends that you need. And the nicest things is that obviously you let out your hardship and you let out your worries and everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's at the same time, it's important that you seek the correct advice from the right people. So having God-fearing friends around you who are knowledgeable. When I say knowledgeable, I kind of just mean just seeking knowledge actively and having that effort to do their best that they can be for the sake of Allah, is so important. Seeking that advice, even if it's just a little bit, I think it's absolutely important. And I think it's just truly beautiful, and I just love having those days where I just spend the whole day, me and my friends, we're at the mosque, and then like we'll go out and eat something, and we'll like take nice photos and stuff like that, just for memories. And it's honestly these nicest things where you can pray together and you can speak about your hardship, read Quran together. It's as if you're not alone in this journey, and it's the nicest thing. Having the righteous company around you is so important, because it really does determine how you are in the next few years or even your entire life, because as humans we get influenced very easily. I even tell my students at school this, is that, you know, when your future really just depends on who you are surrounded with, because you could be surrounded with the wrong group of people and then you'll eventually see yourself in this turmoil that you didn't even want to be in. And the same thing, you know, if you have righteous people around you who strive for Allah's love and really encourage you to do the halal and just really, you know, motivate you to push and gain Allah's love, I think there is nothing more beautiful and empowering than that, than a beautiful sisterhood of Muslim women who strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the Quran and Sunnah. So yeah. Okay, I genuinely think this is probably the longest podcast episode I have ever done on my own, but it has definitely been my favorite. And I'm just so happy that I've discussed all of this and talking about ways, practical ways in which we can heal whilst we are going through sadness and hardship. And just remembering that the whole theme and the point of healing is that, before I end this podcast, I just want to say, a hardship that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than a blessing that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just deep that for a moment, because a lot of people we see nowadays, they lose themselves, they lose their iman, they don't understand why they're going through hardship, and they actually resent Allah for it. Never be that person, because as soon as you resent Allah for hardship, you are truly going to be amongst the losers, and it's not a good sign. So let's always make dua that whenever we go through hardship, make dua foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to always hold on to Him. No matter how hard it gets, trust me, there is nothing worse than you going through hardship and also losing yourself and losing your priority and losing your purpose. Nothing worse than that combination together. However, you can go through hardship, but no matter how difficult it is, so long as you're holding on to Allah, you know at the very end there will be a beautiful ending, and more so in your hereafter as well, inshallah. So thank you very much for listening, girls. I pray you enjoyed this podcast episode, and I will hear from, well, not hear from you soon, but I hope to hear from you girls soon, inshallah. Take care, and assalamu alaikum.